Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Isaiah is looking forward to a time after the exile of Israel in this poem. And we see him making mention of proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And it is generally thought in the Hebrew mind that that is going to bring to remembrance a time when they were in the wilderness and looking forward to the land in which they would be entering, that land of Canaan from which they had been exiled. And we go back to Leviticus 25. Go back to Leviticus 25 and the section that begins in verse 8 talks about counting 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years. So at the time of 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years, and you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement you shall sound the trumpet. That Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the most holy place to bring God's atonement upon the nation, to remembering their sins, that he is not holding against them at this time. And you shall consecrate the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. That word jubilee, that word that has come in that 50th year, that is the day that Isaiah was referencing. And how appropriate it is that Jesus, when he began his ministry, when he was in Nazareth and he was handed a scroll to read, and he read those first two verses, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And he concludes talking about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And he says, he sat down, and all who were present with him in that day looked upon him. And he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was declaring the jubilee. He was declaring, if we look at what was provided for in that jubilee, that year, that those, what does that jubilee mean? It means each of you This is ancient Israel, would return to their own property. If you had sold property to your neighbor, property returns to you. If you had sold yourself to work for another, you are now you're free again. Because it is a jubilee. And even the land itself was free from being worked as it would be worked. And people were to trust that God would provide what was needed. Interestingly enough, this proclamation of the year of Jubilee, there does not appear to be any, it does not appear in Scripture, and it does not seem to be found in any other writings where this ever occurred in the history of Israel, this 50th year. And it is interesting to me also that it is, in a, since it was to be a 50th year celebration, that a person, this could be something that a person would be looking to for their entire life, looking forward to this year. This year that was to be a rest of the land, of the people, a full year of rest. It was seven sevens of you. And that harkens back again to that Genesis 2 period. It is a restoration. It is a period to restore a bit of Eden, where God and man would work together, where the land just provided what was needed, as opposed to you having to work on the land to provide. That is what Jesus is proclaiming. He is setting us free, and he did set us free. But we still do look forward to that eternal rest, because we are still imperfect creatures here. But through his death, through his resurrection, by his resurrection, we have that hope of that eternal rest, where we continue to look forward to that restoration of the Genesis 2 period, where we are in the presence of God, in his garden, in a house, once again, that is not made with hands. And so we remember this day by this bread, and by this juice, that hope for our own eternal rest.